Psalm 119, we've been studying this psalm, understanding it is the psalm that magnifies the Word of God, and this is the longest, we would call them chapters. Really, the psalms are not chapters, they're really psalms, that is Hebrew songs, but it is the largest, longest section as far as we count chapters in the Word of God, and nearly every verse, if not every verse, maybe even indirectly, is a magnifying of the Word of God to us. And it is the psalmist, I believe, and could be wrong, but we call it the psalmist David, a psalm of the psalmist David, that he is magnifying his desire, his relationship, and the work of the Word of God in his life. And so we're thankful for this psalm. We've been studying it kind of in a unique way. We've been looking at it verse by verse. But we've been spending going through each of these sections. They're broke down. The psalm is broke down in 8 verse sections at a time. And so we've been looking at these kind of in a unique way, giving an introductory message to every section and then coming back and preaching through. So tonight will be one of those introductory sections that we want to give to you. And I trust it'll be a help and blessing to you. We've made our way all the way down through verse 24. So let's begin reading in verse 25. I'll read the section, and I'll not make it too much into the verses, but that'll make sense here in just a moment. The Bible said, "My soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word. I have declared my ways, and thou heardest me." Ain't you glad the Lord hears us when we go telling about what we're going through? We can pray to God, having confidence that He hears us. Here's what He said, "Teach me thy statutes, make me to understand the way of thy precepts. So shall I talk of thy wondrous works. My soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according unto thy word. Remove from me the way of lying, and grant me thy law graciously. I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me. I have stuck unto thy testimonies. O Lord, put me not to shame. I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart." Thank God for these verses of scripture. We come here in this fourth section of this glorious psalm is found to be headed under the banner of the Hebrew letter Daleth. And each of these 8 verse sections have a heading in it with a corresponding letter to the Hebrew alphabet. And we've been studying that. Each of these Hebrew alphabets have with it a meaning or a symbolic portrayal, even in the way they would have wrote these letters hieroglyphically. All right, if I said that right. And the Hebrew letter here above this section is Daleth. The symbol of Daleth is represented by a door. And so we found in Aleph an ox, in Beth a house, in Gimel a camel. And tonight we want to begin this section of Daleth likening the Word of God to that of a door. We think about a door and its representation. Jesus, the living Word, said of Himself that "I am the door, and that no man can come to the Father except through Him, the door that is to eternal life." This evening, we think about the living Word being a door. We've heard a lot of messages about that. This evening, we want to consider the Word of God, God's Word being a door. We think about a door tonight and what it speaks of. I believe at least 5 matters this evening. I'll throw these out quickly. I've got a lot of material to give to you, so I'll try to give it fast and you listen fast, and may the Lord bless us tonight. But a door speaks of entrance. I think that's pretty maybe a common and elementary thought about a door tonight. Everybody that's in the building tonight, they entered in through the door. And the door is the entrance. A door in a wall indicates the entry point that takes you beyond the barrier. And so the Bible tonight we think about is the entry point to the spiritual. And it takes us beyond the fleshly barriers of man's way, man's religion, the world philosophies that abound. and gives us entry into those things that are of a spiritual nature tonight. I'm thankful in the world that we live in that has so many barriers, so many walls, so many things that hold us back, that through the Word of God we find entrance into the things that we really need for our lives. The door speaks of entrance, and so we see that in the Word of God. I think about a door. It speaks not only of entrance, but it speaks of choice. We think about a door symbolically represents the opportunities that are set before us and the choice that we must make about the doors we open and that we walk through. I think about this in different ways of how we speak about the opportunities of life. That there's a door that is open. There's a door, and I have a choice to make. Maybe a door about a job, or some young people be praying about or have open doors of opportunity about education and where they're going to go to school. I thought about the old game show, Let's Make a Deal, and you'd have to pick which of the doors that you was going to choose in the deal that was going to be made. And doors speak of choice. And so the Bible tonight is a door requires a choice on our account. Nobody's going to force you into the Word of God. Nobody can do that. Nobody can choose it for you. Nobody can put a gun to your head and force you into the Word of God and its spiritual truth and the way that it calls us to live. And so a door speaks of entrance, and it speaks of choice. It speaks of access. A door is the way in which access is granted to what is beyond on the other side of whatever that door is giving entrance into. And I think about God's Word tonight. It is the only access, and I need you to listen to this, it's the only access to truth and to grace and to the ways of God. We think about the Word of God tonight. It gives mankind access into what we cannot access anywhere else in this world. This world desperately needs truth. This world desperately needs access into the grace of God and needs access to the knowledge of the way that God has commanded and instructed for us to live and for us to be. And mankind are accessing all sorts of falsehoods and lies and ways that are on what Jesus said, the broad way. And they have access through that wide gate that he spake about. And the end of that way, Jesus said, is going to end in their destruction. And yet tonight the Word of God is a door of access into real truth and into the grace of God and into the way that God would have mankind to live. The Word of God, we'll see in a moment, it'll bring a man into access to eternal life and salvation. And you can't know salvation, you can't know a relationship with God outside of the Word of God. It's not about what men say and what religions teach and about what different religious organizations would say. It's about what God's Word says. And so the Bible said, let God be true and every man a liar. Why? Because God's Word is access into the truth that God would have mankind to know. I think it speaks of entrance. A door speaks of choice. Doors speak of access. Doors, number four, speak of transition. In fact, at every door, we acknowledge there is a threshold. And a door, once entered and crossed, takes you from one place into another. When you walked in the building tonight, you left the outside to come into the inside. And in your house, you'll go through maybe a door and from the living room into the kitchen. You have left one room behind so that you can gain entrance and transition into another room. And I thought about the Holy Scriptures tonight and how they are the threshold of spiritual transition in our lives. That's what the Bible is. The Bible takes you from where you are. And then when you look at it and enter it as it is a spiritual door, it takes you into a transition. It grows you. It brings you into a new area of life, a new arena of the grace of God. spiritual growth that is happening and transitions that happen in our lives. Ain't you thankful for that tonight? That you're not where you was and you don't have to stay where you are. That the Word of God is a door and it's a threshold that can bring you and I into new spiritual rooms and spiritual life into our journey with the Lord. A door speaks of entrance and choice and access and transition. A door also speaks of exiting. We think about a door that once entered and we go into it. Doors not only allow people in, but doors can be exited, thus leaving behind what was known and what was experienced from the inside of that door. I suppose that everybody that came into the church tonight, that here in a little while you're going to go out of the church tonight. And you'll choose an exit door and you'll leave through likely the very door that you came in. And so a door speaks of exiting. And we think tonight about the Word of God as a door and this matter of exiting. God's Word is a door that many have walked out of and strayed from. And now tonight are being entertained by other doors that are in the world, spiritually speaking. I think tonight I'm preaching mainly the Christian, maybe on this point. But when you got saved entering the door of the Word of God. And as your life grew, you had transitions and growth. And your life is not what it used to be. But here's the warning of the Word of God. And that is, don't leave the Word of God. Don't leave God's source of truth. Don't exit and stray from what God is opened up to you by way of understanding. In the book of Proverbs, Solomon speaks to his son about walking in the way of truth, walking in that he has gained entrance into of spiritual matters. And then he gives his son warning. He said, if you stray from God's commandment and you stray from the door of wisdom, he said, there's a strange woman out there. And she's sitting in her door, going to be beckoning to you to enter in and commit sin and fornication and to partake in all sorts of fleshly matters. And he said, son, be careful leaving the way of wisdom and exiting God's word of truth. Amen. Why? Because when you exit this book, you're going to enter into another door. Amen. And here's what Solomon said. He said, if you leave God's word and exit God's truth and God's wisdom and get in her door, amen, her door's going to end with you winding up in the gates of hell. And so it speaks of exiting and the caution. And we'll see it tonight in some things that I want to give to you. Amen. Be careful straying from the Word of God. And so the Word of God like a door tonight in these ways. The word door is used 189 times in the King James Bible. Doors, plural, is used another 71 times. And the word threshold connecting to the crossing of a door, either to go inside or to go outside, is used another 14 times. And so that's a broad and a multitude of ways that the Word of God speaks about a door or doors or thresholds. Now, when I thought about the Word of God being like a door, I wanted to give you more than those five things that are just my thoughts of entrance and choice and access and transition and exiting. And I felt like the Lord impressed on my heart to print out the 189 times that the word door is used. Now, don't pass out. I'm not preaching all 189 tonight. Amen. In fact, I'm never going to preach all 189 of them. But I did come across some things that seemed to pique my interest. And the first thing that I want to begin is the book of Genesis. In the book of Genesis, we find many introductory truths about about the a door or doors in the application of man's relationship to God's Word. Now remember, the Word of God is like a door. Interesting to me, the first time you find the word door in the Word of God is as early, Brother Tim, as Genesis chapter number 4. And it's when the Lord comes down and he meets with Cain. And Cain and Abel have brought those sacrifices. Cain of the fruit of the ground. Abel of the firstling of the flock. And so Cain brings what represents what man can do, what man can grow. Abel's sacrifice represents what Jesus would ultimately come to do for you and I. And so they bring the sacrifices. God has respect unto Abel. But with Cain's sacrifice, God was not even a little pleased. And when the Lord comes to confront Cain about this matter of his sacrifice, here's what the Lord said. He said, Cain, why are you so upset? He said, if you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not well, sin lieth at the door. And here's what I thought about when I seen that. Cain found sin lying at the door when he went away from what God had commanded. He did not do well. He did not do what God commanded. And he walked away. He walked away from truth. He walked away from what God had commanded and God's word was. And here's what the Lord was saying to Cain. When a man walks away from what God has commanded, he is now met with sin at the very door of God's word he's just walked away from. Amen. You say, preacher, what are you saying tonight? I'm saying tonight, everybody who's ever walked away from God's word was met by sin at the door. That's all there is outside of God's word is sin. It's wickedness, is a life that my friend is going to be lived not doing well and with God's displeasure and God's judgment set against us. Amen. That's why we magnify the Word of God. This book has everything you need to know about how God wants you and expects for you and I to live. And there's only sin that lies at the door when we walk away from what God has said. Probably the most familiar door in all the Word of God is what Noah entered into when he entered salvation from the judgment of God through the door of the ark. And we talk about the Word of God represented in the doors of the Word of God. And what a representation that door of the ark is to the Word of God. God in Genesis 6 comes down and he speaks his word to Noah. And he lets Noah know judgment's coming. Sin is too great. And the imagination of man's heart is only evil continually before the Lord. And God was angry with the wicked every day. And so what is he going to do? He's going to judge them with a worldwide flood. But Noah had found grace in the eyes of the Lord, being a man who feared God. God trusted him with the Word of God. And in that Word, he gave Noah every instruction he needed for the ark. And part of those instructions is putting a door in the side of the ark. Now, in Genesis 6:16, you'll read about the commandment to build the door. In Genesis 7:16, you find that Noah's entered in and he's walked in through the door. He didn't get in through the window. He didn't bust down the side of the ark. There was no back way. There was no other way of understanding between him and God how to get in. He had to go in through the door. And the Bible said the Lord shut him in the ark. In Genesis 7:16. And so Noah entered salvation from the judgment of God that was to come through the door of the ark. And I tell you tonight, the only way a man is ever going to enter into salvation is through the door of the Word of God. There is no other way. And this world needs to understand judgment is coming. God is angry still with the wicked every day. He promised He'd never flood us out again, but His fire's going to fall one day. And God is bringing judgment on this world. You say, preacher, I don't want the judgment of God. I don't want the wrath of God. I don't want God angry with me. How in the world, preacher, can I have deliverance from that judgment that is to come? There's only one way, friend, and that is you have to enter in through the door of the Word of God. You have to believe what this book said when it said all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You have to believe what this book said when it said there's none righteous, no, not one. You have to enter into that truth. You have to enter into this Bible as God's spiritual door of understanding. When it said all their righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and when it said that Jesus Christ came into this world and He might bring salvation to you and I, you have to enter into that truth that is found in this book alone. And believe it with all your heart, amen, that Jesus came, Jesus lived, Jesus died, Jesus shed His blood, Jesus was buried, and Jesus rose again so that you can be saved from the wrath to come. That ain't found in a book down in Walmart. That is found in the truth of God's Word, and it's the only way a man, a woman, a young person is ever going to enter into eternal life. Amen. It's the only way. Noah only had one way to be saved from the flood. You've only got one doorway by which you can enter into eternal life tonight, and it's the door of the Word of God. In the book of Genesis, chapter number 18, verse number 1, Abraham experienced fellowship with the manifest presence of God while resting in his tent door. That's what the Bible said. He was sitting and resting in his door. And God showed up and God manifested Himself and God paid Abraham a visit, and it was all centered around, the Bible said, at the door of Abraham's tent. Now the Word of God is like a door. What is the spiritual application? Do you want to experience fellowship with God? Do you want God to manifest Himself into your life in the heat of your day, in the heat of this world, and all that is going on? Here's how you experience that. You're going to have to rest in the door of God's Word. God ain't going to meet with you in carnality. God is not going to manifest His presence to your life when you're walking outside of the Word of God. He meets with those that are resting in the door of God's Word. Am I making any sense tonight? Amen. You want to experience the Lord? You want to know the Lord for yourself? You want the Lord to sit down with you and have fellowship with you and spiritually have a meal with you as He did with Abraham? Then, my friend, you're going to have to rest in the doorway of the Word of God. Amen. I think about in the book of Genesis, I like this that comes from Genesis 19. In Genesis 19, Brother Riley, we're in the life of Lot. And Lot has chosen to walk away from Abraham. And he's now been living for many years in Sodom and Gomorrah. How the Lord is going to bring judgment upon Sodom and Gomorrah for their perversion and their sin and their wickedness that had come up before the Lord. And the Lord enters into there through what appears to be angelic visitations to Lot and his family to bring Lot out of Sodom and Gomorrah. Now what takes place is these men, these angelic manifestations,
They come to the house of Lot. The men of the city of Sodom and Gomorrah, they witness these men come in. They come beating on the door of Lot's house. And they said, you bring those men out and we want to know them. And it was an expression that I won't dive in the depths of, but it was an expression of perversion. They intended to physically and sexually abuse the visitors, and it showed up in Lot's house. And Lot steps outside the door, and he tries to reason with them, and he says, do not this. And really, it is a plea for their repentance. It is a plea, Brother Mike, for them to turn away from the intention, the sinful intentions that they had in their heart and in their mind to live out in their life. And so the more Lot tried to reason with them, the more angry the men got, to the point that they thought to do Lot harm. And had it not been for those men that had showed up in that visitation of the Lord, pulling Lot back inside the door, Lot would have probably been a dead man that night. You say, what has all that got to do with the Word of God being a door? Watch this. The Bible said immediately upon them bringing Lot back through the door of his house that divinely and sovereignly the Lord smote all those men of Sodom with blindness. And in Genesis 19, you can read it for yourself, Genesis 19 verse 11, the Bible said those men wearied themselves trying to find the door. Brother Mike, what an illustration of men that and sinners, you try to reason with them to repent and turn away from their sin, and turn away from their perversions, and turn away from their own ways, and they refuse and they resist that divine call to repentance. Now, here's what happens in a person's life. If you keep on doing that, if you keep on ignoring, amen, godly people and godly voices, and are trying to warn you and trying to turn you and trying to set your life in a way that is pleasing to God, and ultimately, there'll come a time in your life that God will strike you with spiritual blindness and you'll weary yourself trying to find the door. Amen. This world is plagued with people tonight. Amen. Sinners and even saved people alike, that they are spiritually blind tonight, so that they cannot find truth and they cannot live truth and they cannot enter truth, because they have resisted truth to the point that God will not let them know it. Are you listening tonight? You better listen. It's not wise. It's not wise to ignore the calls to repent and turn away from even the smallest matters that are going on in your life or mine. Amen. We've got to be sensitive when we're called and challenged to live for God. Why? Because there is a door we've got to find. There's a door we've got to enter. There's a door we've got to choose. There's a door we're going to need access to know the grace of God and to know truth. And as a sinner, to know eternal life. And as a saved man, to know the blessings of God and come from entering God's Word. Amen. Amen. You say, I don't believe it works that way. You better read Romans chapter number 1. The Bible speaks of a generation that when they could have known God through the truth and the door of God's Word, they turned away and would not even entertain God in their thoughts. And they arrive at a place in their life where they love their sin so much that the Bible said that they are turned over to a reprobate mind. Literally, spiritual blindness falls on them, and they have chosen their sin. They have resisted repentance. They have refused God's gift that would, by His grace, turn them from the way they're living. God said, if that's what you're choosing, then I will blind you, and you'll not even be able to know where the door is. Amen. in the last days. Boy, I might have to do two introductory messages. I'm sorry. Is this making any sense? It's helping me. I'm talking about the Word of God like a door. You see a door in the Bible, look at it in light of what is it teaching me about God's Word. In the last days, after the church is raptured out of here, the coming of the Lord Jesus in the clouds, what a blessed hope that we have, and that's soon to happen. But what is going to happen in this world after that is the Bible said that God is going to send the world a strong delusion. Because they had not love unto the truth. They had not love for the truth. They had love not to the truth. And God is going to send a strong delusion that they would believe a lie never to know the truth again. What is Paul teaching in the church at Thessalonica? He is teaching them, you better be careful what you do with the truth of God's word. And man, there's blindness coming to this world. There's blindness already on it, but there's a blindness that is of a divine nature in which men will weary themselves outside of ever being able to find entrance into the door of God's Word. Amen. What a example. Notice with me in Genesis 43, we find the brothers of Joseph. They now are coming back into Egypt. We find the Bible said they communed with Joseph's servant. You know where they found communion with him at? The Bible said very plainly at the door, Genesis 43:19. Genesis 43:19, they commune with Joseph's servant at the door. We know tonight, maybe we don't all know it, but if you've been around church and heard much preaching on Joseph, you understand he's a type of the Lord Jesus. Why, who is the servant of the Lord Jesus? It's the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. And what a picture that is to us tonight, Brother Maurice, that if we want communion with the Holy Ghost, with the Spirit of God, amen, you know where you're going to find that at. You're going to find it at the door of God's Word. Now here's what the Bible said. They commune with Him at the door, but it's from the door that the servant of Joseph leads him into the house of Joseph. And ultimately, Joseph comes to meet them in his house. I thought about it that we have communion tonight with the Spirit of God. And we have it in the doorway of God's Word. And it's there in that communion, Brother Mike. And the Spirit of God is leading us. And where is He leading us? He's leading us to the Father's house. Amen. In which one of these days we're going to sit down and be in the company and the presence, literally, of the Lord Jesus Christ. But it is through the door and our communion with the Spirit of God that we're one day going to know that in reality. And I tell you tonight, I'm thankful for, amen, the door of God's Word. That's just in Genesis. Amen. I don't know if it's over your head or under your feet tonight. Amen. If it's deep or shallow, I can't tell looking at y'all. Amen. But it's helping me tonight. The Word of God is like a day length. It's like a door. Amen. Thank God for what we're taught just in Genesis. I seen all that. I thought, boy, that's good. I need to preach that, and I just have. And then I got looking further. I got in the book of Exodus. And I told y'all I ain't preaching all 189 of them. But can I just give you a few thoughts out of Exodus about the door and what it represents in the Word of God to you and I? The book of Exodus, we find the word door is used the most in the Bible, second only to the prophecy of Ezekiel. I think it's 25 times in the book of Exodus you'll read about the door or some kind of door. Oftentimes associated with the door of the tabernacle, in which there were actually three doors. A door to the outer court, a door in the holy place, and then between the holy place and the holy of holies, there was the veil, which is referenced as a door. And so over and over, we read about doors in the book of Exodus. I think the prophecy of Ezekiel 26 times, but in less verses. And so Exodus, when you do a study on doors and doorways and what it represents, I mean, it's one of the best sources in the Bible you can go to learn about a door and then plug in the application of God's word and the door that it is to you and I about spiritual things. Amen. And so please don't pass out on me. I'm watching the time. But there's at least, in Exodus, we find at least 10 truths about God's word from the use of the word door. I'll give them to you quick as I can. Exodus 12, verse 7, 22, and 23. I don't think it's by accident, Brother Mark, but the first time the word door is used in the book of Exodus, you'll find the blood on the door. It is the lamb being slain, the Passover lamb, the redemptive lamb, and it's going to bring Israel out of Egyptian bondage. And it's associated with blood on the door. I think about the word of God tonight. You know what the theme, do you know what the ultimate theme of the Bible is? It is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you go to the word of God, you know what you find? And you go to the door of the word of God. Hey man, listen, if you read it and you miss the blood, you miss the main thing. It's the Bible that said without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. And life is in the blood. And Jesus, as a lamb, was slain to give his blood for the redemption of the world. And in Revelation chapter number 1, that we that are saved, we lay claim to the fact that it is Jesus that washed us from our sins in his own blood. How do you know that? We didn't pull that out of the air. We didn't get that from some lunatic. We got it out of the Word of God. It's the blood that's found in the Bible. That's one of the reasons, and I know this is controversial. It's not to me, but it is in many places. All these modern day perversions, one of the things they water down and one of the things they tinker with and play with and at other times downright rip out of the Word of God has to do with passages that the Bible declares about the blood of Jesus. This book will tell you about the blood that Jesus shed. Then in Exodus 21 verse number 6, there's the bar in the door. It's the text and is referencing what Israel was to practice when it came unto servant slaves and their masters. And they were not indentured servants forever. They weren't forced into slavery and servitude forever. And there would be a year of liberty, a year of jubilee. And they could pay their debt off. And upon paying their debt, their master was to give them their freedom and to set them free. Except for if a man, having been a slave and a servant, came to the end of his term of service and said, I love my master, I love my wife, I love my children, I will not go out, I have served him by force these years, but now I will serve him of my own choice. The Bible said that, and if that man was to make that choice, he was to be taken to the door or to the doorpost, and that his ear was to be laid out upon the door, and with a hammer and an awl, his ear was to be pierced and bored through, and there would be a mark left on his ear that matched the mark in the door. And that man was saying that I have a lifelong connection to my master because of what happened in the door. Amen. Tonight, can I remind you that, amen, we as God's children, we are not children by force. We are not servants of the Lord by force. Oh no, we made a choice one day and we loved the Lord. We wanted the Lord. We needed the Lord. And we needed all the things that came from the goodness of His hand upon our life. And we got saved in these years. We've been saved. You know what our connection is to the Lord Jesus? Our connection is that we are in this life. lifelong connection because of what has happened at the door of God's Word. I serve the Lord because of what He's done for me through this book. Amen. The marks that are on my life ought to be matching the marks that are in the door. Amen. I will not go out. And I will not turn back. And I will not go to the world. Why? Because I love Him enough to have gone to the door and let Him set His mark upon my life. Amen. That's good preaching right there. And then I think of Exodus 26:36. We see the beauty of the door. And speaking of the door of the tabernacle, likely even the very door of the Holy of Holies, they began to describe, God begins to describe the tapestry and the colors and the fabrics and all the sewing of the door of that holy place. And when you read about it, I'm telling you, my mind, it just stands out as a beautiful door. I think about God's Word is beautifully fashioned for spiritual attraction to the spiritually minded. Tonight in the Word of God, the world just sees a bunch of black letters on a white page. Hey, all they can see is a bunch of do's and a bunch of don'ts and laws and regulations and standards. But unto those that are spiritually minded, that spiritually discern this book, you know what we have found tonight, Brother Tim? We have found the Word of God is a beautiful source of wondrous truths. It ain't ugly to our heart. It's not grievous to our life. Oh no, the Word, I'm telling you tonight, amen, you may not feel this way. I feel this way. And this is a beautiful book. Literally, historically, scientifically, poetically, I'm telling you tonight, spiritually and in every way, what a beautiful source we have in the Word of God tonight, fashioned by the hand of our God. I see the bathing at the door in Exodus 29:4. God said to Moses, bring Aaron and his sons, those men that are going to serve in the work in the tabernacle. He said, you bring them down here to the door of the tabernacle and you have them wash themselves and cleanse themselves so that they can be fit for the service of the Lord. And I tell you what we find in the Word of God, it is a source of spiritual cleansing in and for our service to God. In this dirty old world, do we not get dirt? Amen. Dirt on our feet, dirt on our hands, dirt on our eyes. Amen. We get filthy and we get stinky. But can I remind you tonight, it's the Word of God, it's the Word of God that we can go to for cleansing. Amen. Jesus said and prayed for you and I that the Father would cleanse and sanctify us through His truth. And He said, Thy Word is truth. I'm telling you, at the door of God's Word, there is a spiritual bathing and cleansing. And when sin is weighed you down, you ever get out and work and you feel grimy and sweaty and stinky? Buddy, you've been in the field, you've been on the job all day, and after a little while, hey man, all you want to do is go home and get a shower. And that takes a little while for a young man to finally get there. Hey man, I got some nephews, they only think you need a shower about once every 2 weeks. And they're working on that and they'll grow out of that. But when you get a little bit older, hey man, you get out in the field and you get working. Hey man, there comes a time, don't it, Brother Charlie, in the day, you want to get all that stuff off of you because you just feel weighed down and sticky and nasty. When's the last time spiritually you said, I'm tired of all the grime of this world? When's the last time you said spiritually, I'm tired of feeling weighed down out? I'm tired of walking around this nasty mess that I am. And you say, preacher, what do I do with all that? You got to go to the Word of God. Jesus said, now are ye clean through the Word which I have spoken. If you're going to have cleansing, if you're going to have spiritual bathing, you'll find it at the door of God's Word. That's in Exodus 29:11. I see the bullock by the door. Amen. God said that bullock, that burnt offering sacrifice, He said you bring him to the door of the tabernacle. And that's where he'd be slain. That's where the bullock, his blood would be drained, his flesh would be opened, and that meat would be poured out upon brings an altar unto the Lord as a sacrifice for their sin. I think about the Word of God. You say, preacher, what's that got to do with the Word of God being a door? If you'll get in the Bible, you know what you'll find? Hey, man, you know what it'll tell you about? It'll tell you about what Jesus did for you and your sin. And reminds you, you had nothing to offer God. There wasn't no merit mongering you could have brought to gain God's favor. But Jesus paid it all. And Jesus gave His life. And Jesus gave His blood. And Jesus made the ultimate sacrifice that we couldn't make. You say, preacher, how do you know all that? I know it because I read it in the Word of God. Amen. The bullock by the door. I see the bread around the door in Exodus 29:32. Here's what God said to Moses. He said, you tell Aaron and his sons that after that offering has been offered, they have their portion of that offering and they are to sit down and eat that flesh that is theirs. And he said, there'll be bread in the basket that they can eat by the door. Hey, man, can I say tonight the Word of God is a basket full of bread to feast on. Hey, man, there's bread to satisfy. If you're hungry spiritually tonight, go to the door, get by the door. There's bread around the door tonight that'll satisfy your spiritual hunger. I think about the beckoning to the door, Exodus 29:42. And God said, listen. He said, that tabernacle, the door of the tabernacle, he said, and speaking of it, he said, there I will meet with you and speak unto you. You know what I found? You know what I find there? That God desired to meet with them at the door. Amen. He wasn't going to meet with them out yonder. He wasn't, my friend, going to meet with them in some place in their choosing. God had a desire to meet with them. And he said, if you'll get to the door, amen, I'm beckoning you to the door. And that's where I'll show up. And that's where I'll speak. I may be preaching. I don't mean to get so worked up on a Wednesday night that I can't help it tonight. Amen. Because I'm talking about a God that wants to meet with me. And wants my friend to manifest himself. He wants to tell me something. And you know what I've learned these 28 years of being saved? Is that, my friend, if you get to the Word of God, if you get your nose in the book and get your life into the door, and God will show up and God will begin to speak to your life. When's the last time some of y'all felt the presence of the Lord? When's the last time some of y'all heard His voice? Amen. Oh, you on YouTube and Facebook and the Twitters and the X's and the Instas. Amen. And all the TikToks and all the different things we've got. My friend, oh, it's time to forsake some doors tonight and wind up at the door that God is beckoning us to so that we can know the manifest presence in the voice of God. That's good tonight. Amen. Then I found in Exodus 33:8, 9, and 10, the bidding from the door. In that chapter, you'll find that Israel is afraid. God has shown up around the mount. Darkness is set in. They're afraid. They don't know which way to go. The Bible said, Brother Riley, that every man stood in the door of his tent. And you know what they did? Oh, I'm about to preach. The Bible said, Brother Larry, they watched Moses go into the mount. They watched Moses walk into the darkness. They watched their man of God. They watched their spiritual leader. Amen. Show them the way. And in their fear and in that time of darkness, and me and my friend had a bidding. They had a leadership. Hey, my friend could be on board and on page and unified with their Moses, their spiritual leader, because of what they saw when they stood in the door. Amen. We got a generation in churches across our land. I don't suppose we got, I hope we ain't got any. Maybe I'm just dumb to it tonight. I pray I'm not. But we got a generation of church folk who know very little about following the man of God. Disjointed, out of unity, always burned up, always upset. I've never had one person Amen. In 20-something years now of pastoring, I've never had one person that if they wouldn't just stand in the door, they may not have seen the way, and they may have not known which way to go. And if they just stand in the door and keep their eye on the man of God, that God wouldn't sooner or later show up in their life. In fact, in that same chapter, in verse number 10, they go from worry into worship. Amen. They leave the realm of fear and they fall on their face and they get their joy back and they get their intensity back and they get, my friend, that wonderment back in their life. Where'd they get it? They got it by watching there at the door.
Amen.
Amen. So many tonight, they're empty, they're afraid, they're worried, and they're disjointed with God because they've got outside the door trying to do it their own way, being a lone ranger. And that ain't the way that book has designed your spiritual life to be lived. How we doing? You got a Bible, you got a preacher, you got a Holy Ghost, you got a church. God has an order in all of that, that if you'll just anchor in, just say, I don't understand, I don't know, I can't even figure it all out, and feelings arise and emotions arise, just like it did with Israel. But I'm telling you, amen, if you'll just get in the door and stand in the door and follow the man of God as best as he can lay, my friend, you'll get your worship back. You'll come out of the cloud. You'll come out of the storm. There's a bidding that takes place. Amen. When you stand in the door, you'll find the leadership you need for your spiritual life. How we doing? That's good preaching right there. I'll come back and hit that sometime. Notice the beholding near the door. Everybody okay? We've only been in church an hour and 6 minutes. Amen. I'm changing our start time to 7:05 on Wednesdays from here on out. Amen. That just means y'all will show up at 7:10. Amen. I know what y'all will do. Amen. But we've only been at it an hour and 6 minutes. It ain't been 3 hours like some of y'all look. Watch it. The beholding near the door. Exodus 38, verse number 8, said that there's going to be a brazen laver. That brazen laver's going to be there. And then, Brother Mike, in that verse, Brother Mark, it stumped me for a minute because it said that it was at that brazen laver that the women of the assembly was to bring their looking glasses and assemble themselves there at the door. I thought looking glasses, I was thinking looking glasses. But the word looking glasses is actually an old English word that means mirror. A mirror. They were to bring their mirrors to the door. Amen. The women were. That's amazing to me. The women was to do that. I can make all you women mad right now. Amen. I can make sissy men pretty mad too. I ain't against men looking in the mirror, fix your hair, make sure you're right. I was back there a little while ago, was getting ready to come out. Sam come back, check on me. He hugged me and then he started smacking at my back. I said, you get me all dirty. He said, Daddy, you got dog hair all over you. Amen. And I'd have walked out here covered in all of it. Amen. Say, would that have bothered you? I don't know if it would have or it wouldn't. I was glad Sam come by. Amen. But women were to bring their mirrors. Where'd they get them mirrors? They got them, Brother Charlie, from Egypt. Now, don't get mad at me, but you really know what a mirror is or can become? An instrument of vanity. Mirror, mirror on the wall. Who's the fairest of them all? Amen? Mirrors can become instruments of vanity. Pride. God said, you need to bring your mirrors down to the door. They is to take those mirrors and put them in the bottom of that brazen laver. When you come to that place of cleansing by the door where we talked about you used to get a bath, you used to bring all your vanity and all your pride, throw it down in there, that cleansing tub, that cleansing pool. Amen. Then when God would take all that in that brazen laver, now you could look in it and behold your natural man through God's cleansing tub. Where'd that happen? Happened at the door. I thought about that. Oh, boy. Y'all reckon this will preach? It's a 10-part series, probably, Brother Tim. Amen. You said, where'd you get this? I ain't get it out of no book. I'm telling you, God said, print off all them verses, and I ain't made it past Exodus. Ain't y'all thankful for that? Exodus is as far as I've gone. God told me when I got to that verse and he began to open it up, he said, son, you know what keeps you away and at distant and from being able to truly live your life out according to the word of God? You're too vain and you're too proud. There comes a time in every Christian's life we've got to learn to lay down our vanity and our pride. Behold ourselves as we are. James said the word of God is like, it's like a natural glass, and a man can see what he really is. That's what the word of God is. I'm amazed how many people claim to truly know, and they do. They study the word of God. They know the word of God. Then pride and vanity begins to rest. That's not why God lets us have his word. He lets us know his word and study his word and live his word. Not that we can be blown up and proud and big-headed and cantankerous. He lets us know his word so that we can see just how vain and proud and awful and dirty we really are. Amen. When's the last time you beheld yourself in light of the word of God? The bracing for the door, by the way, that's number 10. I'm almost done. Exodus 38 verse 30 speaks of the sockets of the door. Sockets. Amen. We would call them in our vernacular, in our day, hinges. But it's more. The word sockets that is used in that verse, it means to rule. It has a meaning of a sovereign or a controller. That's what a door is. And the hinges on the door that are a door without hinges, without something holding it up, is just a piece of wood on the floor. It's something that's just propped up on a wall. Is that right? But if the door in Exodus has sockets, and that deals with rule and authority and sovereignty and control. One of the implications behind the word, I looked it up because I was so interested in sockets. It's used to imply, Brother Riley, the sense of a basis, a foundation, a pillar, and it speaks of strength. Amen. A door was hung in that verse on sockets. It represented stability and strength. Not a door flapping around. Not a door that can be easily pushed in or pushed over. You know why people don't like the Bible tonight? You know why people don't like Bible preaching tonight? Because they don't like the authority and the control that it demands we give it in our life. But can I tell you, here's how strong the Bible is. Here's how braced up God's word is. Jesus said that heaven and earth shall pass away. Think about that. Everything you see one of these days is going to be gone. Everything you enjoy in life is one day going to melt with a fervent heat of cleansing. The job you have will be gone. The money in the bank will be gone. The life you live as you know it. The house you have. Everything that you know. Jesus said, and that earth is going to pass away and that heaven is going to pass away. But my word shall not pass away. Why? Because God has anchored it in strength. God has built it and hung it upon His own sovereignty and His own power and His own authority. That's why we ought to look the Word of God. Every video Dr. Phil's ever put out, one of these days is going to pass away. Every episode that Oprah has put out and gave voice to men and women and intellectuals about how to live life and how to think, at one day all of those things are going to pass away. What your snuff dipping granny told you all the days of your life that she swore up and down was so. If it was outside this book, one day every philosophy, every tradition of men, every way of religion outside of the Word of God, I'm telling you, it's going to pass away. That's why I want to anchor my life on what never fails. The grass withereth and the flower thereof fadeth away, Peter said. The word of the Lord is going to abide forever. And you're anchored in when you're at the door, when you're living in the door of God's word, praise God. You're living in something. You're living by something. You're anchored to something that will never, never, never fail. Praise God. Word of God like a door. With these truths set forth about God's word. Is that okay? I hope that makes sense. Brother Charlie is blessing me. All these things set forth about God's word being a spiritual door. Note the text tonight. In Psalm 119. As I read it to you a moment ago, I won't preach it, but let me throw the thought out. David confesses the burden his soul is under. Due to the environment that's around him, the situation he's living through, and the battle that he's fighting. He said, my soul cleaveth unto dust, and my soul melteth for the heaviness. Amen. He speaks of declaring and crying out the way of his life to the Lord as though he don't know what to do. He don't know if he can make it, especially in his own power. Hallelujah. You ever feel like that? You ever feel like life's more than you can handle? Ever feel like your life's being sucked out of you in a life-sucking world? You ever feel like it's more than you can handle? You ever cry and feel like your heart's just weeping and crying? You don't know what to do, then you're in good company with David in this text. David is making this confession, but David makes a cry. Here, and the cry is for refuge behind the closed door of God's word where the Lord could do a gracious work in David's life that the world and David's enemies would know nothing about, a secret work, a work and that God only does when you get behind the closed door of God's word. David said, Lord, just let me make it across the threshold. Lord, let me just make it to your word and I'll be quickened. I'll be strengthened. I'll be told. I'll find understanding. I'll be able to stand. I'll be able to stick. I'll be able to choose. There'll be some things that'll be taken away out of my life that I don't need anyway. But I got to get behind closed doors. Now, we talk about things go on behind closed doors. Sometimes like that's a negative. Sometimes it can be a positive. Amen. Now, if it's lawyers and politicians, amen, you probably ought to be nervous. There's a lot of behind closed door stuff that happens up in Washington. Let me tell you, there's some sweet things that go on behind closed doors. Amen. I don't want to be gross or graphic tonight, but there's some good things going behind closed doors with me and Miss Kate. And I don't care what you think about it. Amen. behind closed doors. There's things you can enjoy and have pleasure in behind closed doors that is just between lovers. Everybody okay? I'm talking about behind closed doors. David said, Lord, would you let me come in behind your closed doors so you can work in my life things the world knows nothing about, things my enemy can't even begin to understand. I hope it's making sense. Everybody's embarrassed and red-faced now. I'm going to tell you something. Behind closed doors is where God will give you the strength that you desperately need tonight when you feel like your soul's dying. Amen. Then David said in there, by the way, that's what I'm preaching on next week. It's what I've been preaching on tonight. You just didn't know it. This section we're titling Behind Closed Doors. David said, Lord, let me get behind the door. Do your work on me. He said, and then I'll be able to talk and I'll be able to walk back out here with success and spiritual energy. And everybody will know, hallelujah, that behind the door something happened that I didn't have before I got behind the door. Amen. You ever met somebody you knew that was going through something? Their life was in a bad way. They was in a bad season of life. You seen them begin to start dragging their tracks out a little bit. They began to wobble a little bit, Brother Tim. Then you see them again next Sunday and they come in and there's a little pep in their step. I promise you that's not the result of super duper spirituality. That is the result of somebody who got behind closed doors. God gave them what they needed. The soul that one time was melting is now moving. The soul that one time was cleaving to the dust has found a communion that has delighted them. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying in this world of dust, get behind closed doors. And I'll show you next week what David said God does behind closed doors. That sound good? Amen.